I'm going to fade out the intro music. It is GloucesterCast 331. It is April 5th. And once again, we have a normal spring that we're dealing with here, where March and April are
winter.
Mean, mean months.
Winter-like.
But you know what? Normally you get the one or two warm days.
Right.
It's like a 75-degree day, and everybody gets like all excited and everybody's out and about. Yeah, and then bam, the next day, bam, freezing cold or rain and cold.
But we haven't even had any of those, you know, nice moderate days.
No, not one.
Not one.
Not even one.
Right. Like, I remember winters when maybe you'd get like a weird 60-degree day in January. We've had nothing like that.
I guess we could say we're lucky that we didn't get bombed with snow, though.
Yeah.
I mean, this winter, I'll take that. That was
what? I love snow. Also, I've seen a lot. You know, as a landscape designer, I've seen a lot of damage to things because there wasn't snow cover. So snow is like an insulator. So I'm seeing a lot of I'm just seeing a lot of damage to things. So
like what type of damage? What happens?
Example. So for example, Alberta spruce trees, very, very, very browned up, half dead. That kind of thing. I don't know. We're gonna sit. We'll see.
No bueno.
Yeah, this might be a lot more work for me this spring than I anticipate.
All right. Well, Ralph DiGiorgio is with us today.
Good morning, Gloucester.
And Kim is with us today.
Good morning.
So we're flying light and tight today. Yesterday, I went with Chris McCarthy. We went and checked out Lat 43. They're complete.
I saw the beginning of the video.
They basically took everything out of there and like started with a clean slate. They took out the sushi pit. They put in, I want to say horseshoe bar, but it's not a horseshoe bar because it's a circle.
It's a big circle
all the way in the middle.
Yeah.
40 seats at the bar.
Oh, that's tremendous.
They took out the wall in between like the little waiting area where they had the fireplace.
Yes.
Where we walk in.
Right.
And they put a big glass sliding garage door so you can see right open there.
Right.
And then they put three huge glass sliding doors on the part of the building that faces the working waterfront.
Oh my
God. It just opens up basically the whole room is going to be al fresco dining.
Wow. So those will be open in the summertime, and then is there still a porch out there?
The porch is going to be configured the same exact way.
Wow. Yeah. That sounds so awesome.
I would have loved to see it, Jill, but you purposely neglected to invite me for the tour.
Oh, right.
Maybe
we would have loved to have had you there. We just assumed that you had work to do because you're always telling us about how.
I don't have mental telepathy, Joe. If I did, I'd be a very wealthy person. But that's okay.
Ralph's very upset.
I'll be invited to the friends and family grand opening event.
The 19th.
Yes.
That is on the 19th, okay. And then the 22nd is the open to the public.
Okay.
It's gonna be big.
Is the menu
going to
be different?
They revamped the menu.
But it's a secret.
Yeah. Oh, you see?
Oh, really? I heard that.
I'm impressed. You watched.
I pay attention.
Good.
It's a secret.
He said
you have to come on the 22nd to see the new menu. But they made a lot of changes. They've been working on it and all their other restaurants. They've been trying out different recipes.
Secretly trying them out there, and then they're gonna move them to.
Well, they're just like they're gonna. That's gonna be a big reveal. As well, like they didn't want to give everything up that day.
Yeah,
they wanted to hold back more.
I think that's a
great thing for places to do is to freshen up their menu.
Yeah.
We also are lucky to have in our midst, Kim, the new Cape Ann Bowling champion of champions. He's not just the champion, he's the champion of champs. Last night they took to home all the money they got. They won. Kim and him both rolled high scores, and they had the money that they won fanned out like a fan.
It wasn't a championship. It was only the highest over our average And we, it just so happened that Kim and I both won last night. It was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun. It was a great night. Shout out to Kate Van Bolen. They have a great tournament.
How many people are in that group?
I don't know how many teams. I think there's like 8 teams of 4.
And they had
this end of the season banquet last night, and they had a big spread of food. And, and they had a, you know, we played regular bowl, individual bowl, and a team bowl, but they had an orange pin. And if you hit a strike, it would be $10 with the orange pin in it. If it was a spare with the orange pin in it, it would be $5.
Oh, okay.
You know, and everybody was winning money. It was fun. It was a great deal. Yeah. And then at the very end, Kim and I won that prize at the end. It was awesome time. Shout out to them. They do a great job over there. I can't wait till they open up that addition there. They're doing the brewery inside there. That's going to be fantastic. A lot of fun. So we're looking forward to next year. Not that we're looking forward to the fall, but we're looking forward to next year's
Nick and Caitlin Pizzeni, young couple, just doing great things over there.
Yeah, they're doing it. It's really a lot of fun.
That's super great. Supporting them over there. That's awesome.
They're having fun.
Yeah.
We're trying to get Joe to go, but he's always noncommittal.
He's got a lot of work.
If I committed to a bowling league that happens to be in the fall, how many of those do you think I'd be able to
do?
Zero.
Well, it's 7 o'clock at night. What are you doing at 7 o'clock
in the
at
fall,
night?
I get out of work at like 7:30. Yeah, I get up late in the fall.
There's so many times I like drive by like at the crack of dawn, you know, like 5:30 in the morning, 4:30 in the morning. I see your truck there. Then I come back, like come back from Boston or whatever, 7:00.
Just gotta tell the bolts they gotta be in by 6:59. That's all you gotta do.
Yeah, that'll go over big.
That'll go over real big. So there's that. You weren't here the last podcast, but I wanted to mention to you and get your feedback on this. So, and I was surprised to learn that you didn't know about the Dogtown compost facility.
No, I don't know anything about it. Sounds wonderful.
So,
my husband will love to know this.
It's great. I mean, so you can go up there and dispose of your brush and your leaves, you know, and
I'm writing that down. Or do you have a link? Are you gonna put a link on it? I don't know, I didn't even do a post about it,
but it's on the city's website.
Okay.
It's the third Saturday of every month.
Okay.
They allow and they have someone there that they allow them to.
Yeah, that's great. And you can take compost.
In the middle, right when you come in, there's this huge mound of really dark
black
nutrient
compost,
rich soil. And it has a sign, you know, not for contractors.
Just take a bag full for your garden.
Absolutely, yeah. So
is the compost made? So all this stuff that you're dropping off is just leaf debris, right?
Leaf and brush.
And brush. So it's not food. It's not food. Compost made from food.
I didn't see that. Okay. I mean, I'm not. Yeah. I'm assuming it's not that. It's more. But you can go on the city website all the information.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. Dogtown Compost Facility, Gloucester's Compost Facility, located on Dogtown Road off of Cherry Street. Scheduled to be open the last Saturday of each month during the hours of 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Brush, leaves, and yard waste.
Yeah.
Leaves must be clean and free of rocks and debris. Brush must be less than 4 inches in diameter and 4 feet in length. No plastic bags in capital letters.
4 inches in diameter is pretty good size.
Yeah, I don't think they're not really on top of you or anything like that. So that's pretty good. Pat Moore is our friend that always sends in great photos from Eastern Point.
Right. Eastern Point and from his travels, too.
And from his travels, too. That's right. Sent me photos of his... he has these red finch couple, and they were nesting inside of some type of bell that he has, decorative bell that he has outside of his house.
I saw the pictures; they were beautiful because it was the bell in silhouette and the bird in silhouette.
Yeah, really he had one that was it almost looks like a hummingbird, fanned out. It was interesting to me because last year I was kind of following along, but then we had the cowbird that. took over the nest.
Took over your, I know, right.
Is that what you said?
Yeah. Well, they didn't the cowbird lay eggs in your house finch nest? Isn't that what happened?
All I know is we had four birds at the end of it, and they seemed to.
And did they all look the same?
They did.
They did.
But okay, I'm not paying attention, too much. So we can look back at the tape.
Okay.
his was making a nest at his house.
Right.
Same days that mine were making a nest in the same spot as they made the nest last year.
Sure. And we have one on our French porch that does that. Sometimes two nests.
So the question that I had for you was.
Well, they're really called. They have a red. The males have a reddish head, and the females are more brownish color.
Right.
But their actual name is house finch.
Okay.
And they are called house finches because they nest. They love to nest on people's property. On porches, decks. In your case, a wreath. In Pat's case, a bell. And we've only had the house finches in this area since the 1940s. Somehow they typically were a West Coast species, and somehow they made it over the Rocky Mountains, and ever since then, we've been having more and more. So
I don't understand. So your theory is that it's the same pair that is nesting.
It could be. Like, think about a lot of birds have fidelity to the same site. So
how would they go? Do they travel? Do they go away in the winter?
Yeah. Some do. I think some migrate further south and some stay around. Because I see them all year. I actually see them all year round. So.
How would they find their way back to the same spot?
Well, also you have like in your case, that wreath seems like a really nice place to make it. You know what I mean? In our case, where the pillars come up on the porches, and then there's like. The top of the pillar and then the top of the porch. There's little platforms up there.
Makes sense.
Sometimes we've had three pairs nesting on our porch. You know, they kind of make a big mess. But, birds are amazing. Like
they don't have GPS. I can't find my way around the corner with a GPS.
They do have. There is. They are using like sun compass navigation, and they have special. Magnetic receptors in their eyeballs, and so they can, they do have internal GPS, and they are using landmarks also on their migratory route, and that's why some birds travel in flocks, because old birds are teaching new birds. They're not like monarchs. Like monarchs are just like one generation. Nobody's teaching a monarch how to get back to Mexico.
Yeah.
With birds, there is. They have a different set of different reasons why they can return to the same area. So I told you about that one piping plover, old man plover, that came back to for 17 years. He came back to the same exact spot on a beach in the Great Lakes.
It was the same bird?
It was the exact,
because
he was banded.
The birds lived that long?
Yeah, well, this one, that was a record. Also, there was a piping plover that lived for 19 years. But some species of birds are known to live longer, like 30 years, 40 years. So.
Jesus, that's amazing. Yeah. Tiny little things. There's nothing to them, and they can last that long.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Like, we learned at the, I don't know if you want to talk about the wildlife now, but at the piping plover Waterbird Conservation Meeting that the Gloucester Animal Advisory Committee held at the Sawyer Free Library. Mm-hmm. Guess how much a piping plover chick weighs?
How much?
1 gram. A gram. What else is a gram? I'll tell you.
Is it a paperclip a gram?
A paperclip is a gram. A dollar bill is a gram. A pinch of salt is a gram. That's how much a piping plover chick weighs. When it hatches.
That's crazy. That is so crazy.
I mean, can you imagine a dollar bill on the beach? It would just blow away.
Exactly. You gotta hunker down.
A monarch weighs slightly less than a gram. Sadly. Isn't that, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing. I would never have guessed that. That's for sure.
Yeah, that they can, a little tiny thing that big can survive on a busy beach. It's pretty phenomenal.
It is phenomenal.
Yeah, and then like our piping plovers, they're not banded, but we're pretty sure it's the same exact male that's come back every year. or even possibly the chick from the second year. So, yeah. It's amazing. I'm glad we don't ban birds in Massachusetts. I'm really glad about that. I was shocked when I was in New Jersey to see some oyster catchers had three bands on each leg, and the piping plover population in New Jersey is plummeting, and one reason could possibly be because of overbanding.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we don't know for 100% sure in our area if we're having the same birds, but since they try to build the nest in exactly the same place, like 2 to 3 feet apart from year to year, you can pretty much guess that it's the same bird. Yeah.
The Gloucester's going to celebrate the Great Gloucester Cleanup April 27th, 2019.
That's a Saturday, right?
Yeah, we had Jamie Matheson and Sarah Stewart in last week, and Kate met up with them.
She did.
So at their shop, One Ocean, One Love, on Cripple Cove, and they have one in Rockport too.
That's a great location for that shop, isn't it?
She picked up some yellow bags because Kate was picking up nips. So the other day, Kate went for one of her backshore walks. Yeah. In 1 mile, she got 171 nips.
In 1 mile. That's extraordinary. I think that's extraordinary. I mean, amazing that Kate did that, but that's 171 times she had to bend down.
Well, that's like a workout for her anyway. Yeah. And she's not opposed to that. But she.
Wow, that's just too much. That's crazy.
Yeah, so she went to their shop. She, you know, she's like a kindred spirit, the earth warriors. So they had a nice meeting, and it sounds like Kate's gonna participate. But she also dropped off the nips. They're gonna bring the nips. They're collecting nips to bring to the State House for
them.
A statement, because they're looking for that support for the nip. Tariff or whatever they call it.
I mean, if they made them out of glass, they'd at least be biodegradable. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, for sure.
At least they'd have a half life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The nips. We were talking about the nips.
Yeah. 171 nips. That's amazing.
1 mile, she picked up 171 nips.
That's just, hooray for Kate, but I think that's crazy.
They're everywhere. Yeah, all along gross. Atlantic Road, they're everywhere.
So, your theory on why they're on Atlantic Road, because people are just going for a drive and drinking and tossing them out the window.
That's what they do.
Yeah, that's it. And especially, that road, but then the little side roads where there may or may not be cars. Like, the worst roads are the road. I mean, not cars. Houses. Like, the roads that...
Stretches
where there's just woods.
Right.
Like,
it's even worse there.
Because there's no person to, like,
yell
at you because... On Farrington Ave is quite a few.
It's gross. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Cape Ann Reads opens. Our friend Catherine Ryan, her program.
Her beautiful project that she's been working on for a couple of years. It's left the Cape Ann Museum, and now it's going to the Cape Ann Historical. The Manchester Historical.
Manchester.
Museum.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that opens Saturday, and the opening reception is from 3 to 5.
Can you tell me what is the whole idea behind Cape Ann Reads?
So a couple of years ago, Cape Ann Reads was a joining of the four libraries on Cape Ann, and they sponsored a children's book writing program. And as a result, they have there's 10 or 15 books that, got very far along in the process. One or two have been published.
Wow. That's huge.
I think they were self-published, but nonetheless, Alice Gardner, as a result of Cape Ann Reads, she published
the St. Peter's one?
Yeah, her beautiful little St. Peter's book. Uh-huh. She started out with Cape Ann Reads, but then she, went off and published it because she just wanted to get it out there ASAP. And then, so now the illustrations from the show are traveling around to each town, and they were here in Gloucester at Cape Ann Museum, and now they've moved to Manchester. Ralph is coming and going.
Yeah, I'll link to the more information.
Okay, great.
To one of Catherine's posts.
To one of her posts. Okay. Yeah. I think the last post just has you know, the excitement of setting up the exhibition. The space looks beautiful. And I've never been to the Manchester Historical Museum, so I'm looking.
The
space looks gorgeous. And then, but I think her post previous to that has more details about where it's going. And you
know, I'll look it up, okay. and we'll link to it. Mamma Mia is at Gloucester High School.
Yeah, shout out to the kids. I mean, that is such a fun show, and lots of great music. It's still playing two more nights. It's playing tonight, because this is going up tonight, right? It's also playing Saturday and Sunday. I know for sure it's Saturday. I can't remember if it's a matinee and an evening show. So anyways, I put a post up and with all the dates. Sharon Bo Abrams had posted all the dates on Facebook, so you can find find the link for that.
I'll look it up for sure. Yeah. Do you know any of the kids that are in it?
Well, I do know Rebecca Dowd is in it. She's in our neighborhood. Yeah. I believe she's a senior this year. It's hard to keep track of everybody, but
the kids, you know, all the kids that you kind of grew, all the Duckworth kids, everybody's getting to be teenagers now.
They're all going to help me with Charlotte when I have her for a week.
Oh, wow. That's great. That is so great. So I was driving. Oh, your daughter's also, and your daughter Liv, your favorite child.
My beautiful daughter, Liv.
Your favorite child, the one that you love more than the other one.
I adore both my kids equally. I totally adore both my kids equally. I adore my son.
She's moving away, though. She's moving further away for a couple months.
Yeah, she's moving to Los Angeles. Currently, her accounts are Instagram and Facebook, but she's been working on a big project for Netflix. So she's going to be in, I think she's living in Santa Monica, but the project is in LA, and they're setting up these experiential events for each one of Netflix's shows.
Wow.
Yeah.
So each one of them?
Each one of them. That's for their original shows. I think there's 30 or 40 original shows.
Wow.
So in this, you know, vast area that they're setting up all these experiential events, it's taking like a month to set up, and then it's going to be like this thing where advertisers and people come to the, you know, events that they've created for,
you know, the Academy Awards was something that was so, like, it was like almost like the same every single year, and the same studios promoted their same actors, and the same studios had enough money to push forward certain type of, you know, certain movies for that won all the awards. For years and years and years, it was the same rotation of the same things. And then Netflix came along, and it's just like another technology that both, like, people were like, oh, you know, Blockbuster came and gone, maybe Netflix is going to come and go and be replaced by something else. But Netflix is financing, like,
awesome
these incredible movies and TV shows and stuff that are kind of turning the Academy on its ear.
I think it's turned the industry upside down.
Which is
great.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It needed it, right? I mean, it was so staid in so many ways.
Yeah.
So
it's very cool.
Yeah, very cool. So
congratulations to Liv. Who gets the bulldog? Is she taking the bulldog? Is the bulldog staying in New York?
So the bulldog is Matt's. And Matt moved to Atlanta. So. She has her kitty Scruples. And Scruples.
That's funny.
Scruples is adorable. Scruples just went to the vet. And Scruples is all ready for her trip across country.
Oh goodness!
So, yeah.
So Ralph, on my way to work today, I'm driving on the back shore and I go up Moreland, and saw a fox. My second fox sighting in 5 days. And then the last time I saw a fox before that was probably like 6 or 7 months ago. Before that, I hadn't seen one in forever.
Yeah, like years.
So I'm starting to see foxes.
Yeah.
And what I've noticed is...
Have you seen any?
I haven't seen one yet.
You haven't seen one yet?
No.
So
look out on your... Because they used to trot up and down Brace Cove every morning. So, and they'd be heading towards where you live. So I would just keep an eye out on the beach early in the morning.
Really cool. Like 4 feet long, long bushy tail. Yeah. And
what a fox looks like, Joe.
Beautiful. Well, we have... I've never seen gray fox over here. I've only ever seen red fox over here. I think in West Gloucester they have red and gray fox.
Red fox's daddy passed away a long time ago.
I'm coming to join you, Elizabeth. But what Kim, so I was saying this to Kim, And she had a fox that's denning in her backyard?
No, we hope. I mean, it would be great. She just came and checked out our backyard.
You got a little baby in your house, though. What if the fox eats the baby?
They wouldn't go after each other. No. It would be okay.
What are you going to do, put the baby out in the backyard as bait, Joe? I mean, do you think they're going to leave the baby unattended?
Yes. Would you throw your kid out to play with the butterflies, knowing that there's a fox?
Put the baby in the backyard with a bowl of Cheerios?
She's way too little to leave outside alone anyways, so she would never be outside alone.
I'm telling you, better watch out. The fox, you know the saying, the fox is in the hen house.
Yeah.
Do you know why that is? If a coyote comes to a hen house, they would just take one chicken and they would, eat it or take it away. When a fox goes into a hen house, they kill everything. They kill everything because fox cache food. They store it. You know what I mean? So they would kill it, take it all away, store it, and so that's why you don't say coyote in a hen house, because a fox in a hen house is a lot
more dangerous.
So
we both noticed, though, that this past fall and winter, like 2 years ago,
I saw
coyotes all the time. All the time. I haven't laid eyes on a coyote for, I would say, at least 4 months, and I hear them occasionally, but a couple of years ago I heard them every single night,
right.
And I haven't heard them lately.
Well, right now the females are denning, so we would hear them less right this very minute, right at this point. Uh-huh. But even so,
denning? They're
pregnant with the pups, and they don't usually. Coyotes don't really make their own den. They take over fox dens, or the only time they ever stay in a den is when they have when they're pregnant and have babies. That's the only time. Otherwise, they just like sleep on the sand, or you know what I mean. They find a little flat place and they sleep.
I'm gonna do a post asking people if they have recognized a drop off in coyote activity.
Have seen any foxes? More
yeah.
foxes.
Yeah, yeah, I'm gonna do yeah. that. Yeah,
that's
interesting.
Certainly what I'm seeing.
How about you, Ralph? Have you noticed any difference?
I hear them at night.
You're hearing them.
I never see them, obviously, yeah. But it's
it wouldn't be strange for you to see them where you live.
Yeah, I don't go outside in the middle of the night, but I hear them
constantly
because it's loud over there.
Yeah.
When they're on the golf course and they make a kill, they're loud and it just travels.
No, I usually hear it too, but I mean I haven't heard it to the degree that I would hear it.
We were hearing it last.
And maybe it could be that we're just kind of like. It's not as startling to us, so we're not registering it.
I don't know, because like I told you, like I would go to Niles Pond at sunset to film, and it would be, I would just stand there and record the coyote noise. Right. You know what I mean? I don't hear that as often. And
also
people who live over there have told me that, that really nice guy Carl, you know him, but I can't remember his last name. Anyways, he hasn't seen or heard them as much either, so. Mm. The last time I saw a coyote was in the middle of the winter, and it was that coyote that was injured, and he was limping up our street at 10 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday.
Oh. They might be vacationing this time of year, too. A lot of, down in Aruba, St. Martin.
Can we get a piping plover update?
Yes. Our piping plovers have, there's the mama and the papa, and now they have been joined by the bachelor. Bachelors pose a lot of problems.
There's a horny plover that tries to hone in on the on the mama plover.
On the mama plover.
Wow.
It's pretty. The reason why they're the problem can get serious because they go after the baby chicks. The bachelors do.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
No. Yeah. I think
we know a couple people like that.
I think I don't know. It could be like a genetic thing.
We do too. Like, sick little monkeys.
I think if the they kill the baby chicks, then they feel like they might have a better chance of, you know,
because the mama's less busy. She's got more time for
to get the piping plovers will re-nest up to 5 times. Which, so if their nest is destroyed by a tide or whatever, they'll re-nest up to 5 times. So our piping plovers are seriously getting down to the business of nesting. And I think the most important thing for folks to understand is that the earlier they nest in the season, the sooner they'll be off the beach. And that will be to everybody's great joy and happiness if we can get them almost to fledging age by July 4th when the beaches get really busy. So the beaches where the birds nest the earliest in the season have the greatest success of fledging. And that's our hope. That's our hoped for goal.
You had some kind words to say about the dog officer, right? You said he's
nonstop.
Down there.
We have Tegan and Jamie, and they're walking the beach alone, sometimes together, but they're down there multiple times during the day. We're still having some issues with various people. The other day there was kind of something scary that happened with a guy was photographing a young girl with her top off, right, in the middle of the day.
So. Why would she have a top off?
There's the first question.
Yeah, right? Why does the girl have her top off?
Oh, maybe was he professionally photographing her?
Well, there wasn't like professional equipment or anything like that.
But were they together? Was she cognizant of him taking this, or was he being skeevy and taking pictures?
I think she was very young. I think he was 30 years old.
It was a young child not have a top on because she was a baby.
No, she was a 14-year-old girl. She was like a 14-year-old girl. Something was really off about that. So, anyway.
Right. Was she with him?
Yeah. And this is stuff that happens, you know,
creepy.
Like, I'm not used to, like, before the piping plovers came, I would go for walks on Good Harbor Beach or whatever, but I wasn't there every day checking on the plover. You know what I mean?
There someone else there, just the witnesses?
Were
the police called?
I sent the photos to the dog officer, and he shares them with the police. So that's all I can do.
There you go.
So. But you see a lot of, when you're down there all the time, you see a lot of weird things that go on that you wish that you had not seen.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
So I had this thing, I had this discussion with Chris McCarthy the other day. Podcast topics. And thinking of like restaurant violations, like what, and it's not the restaurant, but like patrons, what is worse? Like, what do you think is a worse scenario or more shitty thing to do if you're a patron? If there's a restaurant that's mobbed, packed, and there's people standing around waiting to get seats, and you finish your dinner, you finish your drink, and you have no intention of ordering anything else. You sit there for 45 minutes.
It's funny you say
while there's
that.
People that are all the way around. Don't mention any names.
No.
There's people all around.
I know, but...
And they're kind of like, every once in a while you look down.
I think we had this conversation. You had the conversation with me.
Wait, and then the other... So here's that. That's the one scenario. Or the other scenario is you're at a bar and there's all the seats are taken. There's an empty seat. There's two people sat down and then there's another empty seat. And you go to, and you have a couple, and the people refuse to move down.
I will move down all the time. If there's a seat to our right, and there's a seat to our left, and there's a couple that's waiting, we'll say, "Would you like us to move down?" And most of the time, they'll say, "Oh,
ask, right?
Right.
Just offer, right?
It's right. It's the right thing to do.
It's just bar etiquette, right?
Exactly, it's bar etiquette. But back to the first question that happened to Kim and I last week. This week, we went to one of our favorite restaurants, and we were going to sit at the bar. So we sat there, we ordered a glass of wine, and we were just talking about, you know, the remains of the day. And there were actually 3 seats at the bar spread out. And people knew we were waiting, but none of them offered to move. And we were fine with it. We just said, no worries. We'll wait. We're in no rush. We had nothing else to do. But there were 2 gentlemen at the bar that had finished their dinner, had finished their drinks.
Uh-oh, and then they just sat there?
And they just sat there. And we were directly behind them.
Wow.
And they knew that we were waiting, but they didn't care. They were just talking. Now, behind the bar, there's a bar rail with stools where you can sit and talk. Right. And there was 25 seats, and Kim and I took up two of them.
Right.
So they were all empty. But these guys just sat there, and they were talking about, you know,
whatever
they were talking about. Now, I would say, let's sit back at the bar rail and talk. Right. Let these two gentlemen sit down and have dinner.
Yeah.
They didn't do that. So we ended up sitting there waiting for a long, long time.
I can't imagine. I could not imagine being completely done with dinner, not having a drink in front of me or a dessert in front of me and like lingering any more than like 5 minutes tops for me. And I can understand other people even up to like 10 or 15 minutes, you know, finishing up a conversation and moving on.
But
like 45 minutes.
Yeah, that's crazy.
When people are like literally their seat is hit, is you're like almost like touching them because, you know, standing up awkwardly trying to stay out of the way of the waitresses.
And, you know, you got to understand, too, you know, people will go into a restaurant and they'll see it packed. And the first thing in their mind is like, this place is doing unbelievable. You remember, there's a very small window.
Yeah.
You know, if you turn the table over twice, you're lucky. Sometimes three times, you know, if you get someone that comes in quick and go. But, you know, your prime dining time is, you know, 7 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock at night.
It's very unusual.
They're not doing much at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. There's staff there, and they're not doing much.
It's very uncool for the waitress and the bartender, you know what I mean, to tie up a table. Like
Chris and I were at a coffee shop yesterday, and we said...
is that the coffee shop that you didn't invite me to come to?
We thought you were in on the thing, and you didn't go there. So there's a line. There's five... The whole time we're there for like 45 minutes. The whole time we're there, there's a line. So, and you know, and they're serving like lattes and stuff. So, Chris is like counting the money, like, oh, Jesus, they're making a fortune here. And I'm saying, and I said to him, I says, you know, I go, we're here, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. I says, what do you think they're doing? How many people you think come in here?
2 o'clock in the afternoon.
At 10 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the afternoon till 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. They might be like, there might be 4 or 5 customers the whole hour. And they still have to staff that place, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, when you go to the place at 9 in the morning, you're saying, wow, Jesus, this is quite a business. They must make a fortune.
Well, that's what he said to me the other day. He says, I'd love to have a coffee shop. Why would you love to have a coffee shop?
Right? Yeah. No, it's going to be the worst. Yeah, it's going to be
Well, people who have coffee shops who are like just open for breakfast and lunch, I think that's kind of smart.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's the best thing. You're out by 1:30, you know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
But you got to remember your day starts at 5.
Well, at 5, right. But if you're an early bird, that's not a...
Nice part of the day. Yeah.
Chris wants to own a coffee shop that he can open for 1 hour a day and make $1 million.
I keep telling him, like, dealing with the public is not, you know. He's got this job. It's like a kind of a corporate job, right?
Yeah.
So he sees having to deal with people above him and whatever, you know what I mean? Dealing with the public is some kind of picnic.
There's an old expression, the grass is always greener.
Maybe he should just a job that he could do, like hosting. Like maybe he should go host at a restaurant for a week and see how he likes it.
As a hostess? Yeah, I think Chris would make a wonderful hostess.
Because then he can, you know, talk to people and he can get a little bit more realistic flavor of what the restaurant business is really like.
I think he's have to staff a restaurant for a week. That would be the litmus test because that's probably the toughest thing to have. Everything
schedule
and covering people when they come up with like ridiculous excuses.
I
was reading on Facebook on one of those restaurant. It was a restaurant Facebook group and like they all kind of like vent to each other. One of the guys was saying, someone called out with the same. Like, you know,
I have to have surgery every week.
The same excuse.
My aunt died, or my grandmother died 17 times.
Unbelievable.
My son just did a 3-week stint because he runs the kitchen at Brody's, and they had a one guy just had a baby, and another guy had surgery. So that's him.
Straight.
Right. Mm-hmm. Working there straight.
Tough business. tough business. Hats off to the people that are in the restaurant business.
It's
a tough, tough business.
There you go. All right, GloucesterCast 331.
I lost track.
331 in the books.
In the books. Wow.